Get in the know. Non-stop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com. Purple Daily, presented by Surly Brewing Company.
We got a team in here. And this is a game chant. Now, if I come up here, we go.
Yeah, four question Friday on Purple Daily. Daily Vikings entertainment, speculation, therapy. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die. Not much more to it than that. Yep.
Amen.
Judd Zolgad, Phil Mackey, and our executive producer, Declan Goff, rocking the Someday t-shirt there.
That's Someday.
Right. Someday.
Very fitting. My brother-in-law was a Bears fan, gave me this shirt. I don't know if he gave it to me because he knows.
Oh, I like
someday,
it.
Or if it was a little bit of spite.
Kind of trolling you.
Yeah, well, have fun with the Bears, job. Brad.
Wow, Brad taking a hit.
Guy.
Not so friendly fire.
So Purple Daily, presented by Surly Brewing Company and TCL, one of the world's best-selling consumer electronics brands, with a new lineup of award-winning TVs delivering the most entertainment with stunning resolution, all at an affordable cost. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. So let's get to question number one here on Four Question Friday. And I'm going to start with a report here from ESPN.com's Jeremy Fowler. He's combining with Dan Graziano, but most of this is Fowler's information. Mike Tomlin's name has come up during the Vikings' search for a coach as the team's committee identifies the right coach. The Vikings had Tomlin, obviously, as a coordinator, defensive coordinator in 2006. Tomlin has never had a record below 500 since that time with the Steelers, which is kind of amazing. The Vikings knew his magnetic personality would lead to a successful head coaching tenure, which I don't know if they knew that he would be this good, or they wouldn't have kept Brad Childress over Mike Tomlin. But, you know, revisionist history. While Mike Zimmer had a largely successful 8-year run in Minnesota, it's no secret his hard-charging style grated on the locker room, and so a change of pace is probably needed. Tomlin is one of a kind, but can the Vikings find someone who fits that mold? Dan Quinn certainly has that gear, and I'm hearing he's high on the Vikings list, if not at the top. Quinn is intrigued by Minnesota, but pairing him with the right GM is crucial to him. And with his longstanding relationship with Broncos GM George Payton, Denver would have the edge unless the Vikings can appeal to him. Niners defensive coordinator D'Amico Ryans also presents an interesting case because, like Tomlin, he's been an NFL defensive coordinator for one season, but it's created buzz for his humble confidence and more. I don't know, your thought. By the way, Graziano reporting Jim Caldwell, 67 years old, turned down the Vikings.
Thank you. Thank you for doing
Darn.
That, by the way, Jim.
All about.
Thank you for being smart enough to turn down the Vikings.
A lot to unpack here. I do buy that Mike Tomlin, as like an example of like the type of
sure.
leader that they want, I definitely see that. So two-part question. If Fowler's right and Dan Quinn is potentially at the top of their list, what are your thoughts? And or of all the candidates that they've talked to and could be out there, which ones remind you the most of Mike Tomlin? Judd,
can you sound the panic alarm? Because this is where I'm panicked.
Dan Quinn went to a Super Bowl.
Good for him.
Like,
and that's
5
great.
Years ago.
Look, Dan Quinn can coach, okay? So I am not dismissing, not giving Dan Quinn credit. I'm not mocking him. But I covered Tomlin for a year, all right? And Mike Tomlin had an it factor that was beyond impressive. It wasn't normal. Like, there's a difference between being football coach and being enthusiastic and being the opposite of Zim and having the it factor that I'm talking about, which I think God puts that chip in very few people. Like, what Mike Tomlin did at Mike's age was incredible. Mm-hmm. Again, he carried himself in his first year and only year as the DC here. He carried himself with more of an air of confidence and knowing what he was doing than Brad did in Brad's first year as a real coach. That is how impressive Mike was. I fear that Dan Quinn, while probably a good coach and probably a great guy, and I'm sure he comes at things that he wakes up at 4:30, goes and works out and is in the office by 5:45. And he's chomping at the bit to talk football and to be positive. There's a difference between that and what Mike Tomlin has, though. And here's my fear. If you consider the people who are in on these Zooms, especially the Wilfs, what they see in Dan Quinn is to them magnetic, right? Like, this is Mike Tomlin. The reality, though, is they're not important. The players are. And so I see Raheem Morris. Like, if you read through the story that we talked about a couple of days ago that came out when Raheem replaced Dan Quinn as the interim coach of the Falcons in 2020, those are the it intangibles. And they're not, oh, I'm Mr. Enthusiastic. That can be there. That's awesome. But we all read that story and we're like, oh, this is really intriguing stuff. Like this is stuff that's, and Morris is, I believe he just turned 45. I'm telling you right now, this should be seen by the committee of at least seven talking to coaching candidates via Zoom. This should be seen as what impresses us as translates to our players, not what do we like. Oh,
but players in Dallas and back in Seattle, and I'm assuming at times in Atlanta, seem to love Dan Quinn too.
But Dan Quinn is, and I think he's really good. I think Dan Quinn is a great coordinator. We don't know, and he's been to a Super Bowl, but he went off the cliff. I'm just saying, from reading things and from I've seen what they're talking about in Tomlin, I'm just saying that Raheem Morris, Ryan's potentially, strike me more as the identifiable it factor that they want their players to gravitate towards. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, the fact that Mike Tomlin has openly endorsed Raheem Morris, it would seem that Raheem Morris is the most Mike Tomlin-like. You know, they're a little bit, I think Raheem Morris is a little bit more happy-go-lucky than Mike Tomlin is.
Mike was pretty happy-go-lucky. I mean, I think Mike had a weird factor that I don't know, Phil, I can properly quantify for you.
A weird factor?
Or a weird it factor. People would follow him. It was It was Farvinian in some ways. Like, Brett has that gene. And I don't know if I can describe it because I don't know it's describable.
Yeah.
But well, like rah-rah football coach is not that guy. It's a different button in some ways.
Yeah. I want to go on the record and say that Dan Quinn is not my first choice. I think Raheem Morris is. But I would not be offended or upset if the Vikings made Dan Quinn their next head coach. I think people are too focused on he's a defensive guy. It's like, well, actually, he was a defensive guy, but his offenses in Atlanta were top 10 in yardage every single year because he hired the right offensive people, clearly had some sort of offensive mind for the game.
Yep.
So he knows how to hire. I mean, Kyle Shanahan was his offensive coordinator. Raheem Morris was his pass game coordinator. Like, that dude knows how to hire, unless he got lucky. And again, would I rather have another guy or two? Yes. Mm-hmm. But you could do a lot worse than Dan Quinn as the next head coach of the Vikings.
He's near the bottom of mine. He really is. I have Raheem Morris ahead of him. I have Hackett above him. I have even guys like Doug Peterson who have been interviewed for this job ahead of Dan Quinn.
I have Peterson. Yeah, I agree on Peterson.
If we're doing a pecking order, like, he's five or six, even maybe even lower. Like, Kellen Moore is still higher on my list. DeMeco Ryans, who reminds me more of Mike Tomlin, is higher on the list. I would say that would, if you're trying to get excitement into the Vikings fans in the building and that organization, I think Dan Quinn's the opposite of that.
But I think, like, getting initial excitement is irrelevant. Winning games is relevant. And if you think Kellen Moore would maybe provide, that's probably a bad example. I think a lot of people are kind of out. But let's say, like, I'm trying to think of the, you know, like Byron Leftwich or something. Byron Leftwich would provide excitement. Oh, my God, he's this offensive guy and he's young and whatnot. And, like, people would be more excited for Byron Leftwich than Dan Quinn. But Dan Quinn might win more games because he has a proven track record. He's been to a Super Bowl. And so I think Leftwich wins games too. But I just, like, I wouldn't get caught up in, like, the initial excitement of the hire. Win games.
Absolutely. But
he's like fourth or fifth on my list too. So right. I'm not like dying on this hill. I'm just saying.
I think the issue is this. I think it is the fact that is the process as they're doing it. And look, I mean, the GM is probably going to come in first and possibly that person says, I hate Dan Quinn. But I think it's the process of how they're going about this. And what concerns me a bit as well is, and I think that Quinn is ultimately going to get a job, and I think it's going to be the Broncos' job. Peyton loves him. Keep in mind, if George Payton hadn't left here, I think he gets promoted with Rick gone. And I think George turned down opportunities previously because he's like, well, Rick's going to retire, get booted upstairs one day, and I'll get the job. And eventually he's like, I can't wait. But I think the Wilfs really like Payton a lot. And I'm also fearful that the Broncos' interest in Quinn is driving them to say, oh, this would have been the guy. This would have possibly been the guy. I'm always trying to look at this through the lens of what's this committee doing? How are they operating? And I really believe that what they want, and I don't know if they know this, in the opposite of Zim is a younger coach and previous experience is fine. I am not going to pound this thing and say, you can't bring in a previous experience coach who didn't. Raheem Morris intrigues me because of all of the things he brings. But I think one thing he brings is an ability to identify with players. Players like him, but here's the most important thing. He's not their friend.
I believe, just to clarify, though, Dan Quinn is much closer to Raheem Morris's age than Mike Zimmer's age.
Dan Quinn's my age. He's 50. Yeah. He's 51. Morris
Zimmer's
is 45.
Like 65.
Yep. But I'm just saying, I think I'm more intrigued there. I think the Vikings want a guy like Morris more than Quinn, but I bet Quinn blew him away on the Zoom. The Zoom was so impressive.
I heard it was a Microsoft Teams. It wasn't Zoom. Oh, I don't
you know what I would gotcha. Do? I would break that SOB and say, you're bringing guys in or we're not talking to them on Zoom. You guys don't. Why are you doing the Zoom thing? Let the experts do the Zoom thing.
Well, you'd have to go to some of them because some of these guys are prepping for playoff games.
But I'd go to them.
I think the Broncos went and met a couple
of guys. Wear a mask. I'd go to them.
Here's question number two. Courtney Cronin, ESPN.com's Courtney Cronin, saying she tweeted this before the news. So Joe Schoen, who's the assistant GM with the Bills, just got hired officially to be the Giants general manager. So the dominoes are falling now. You know, Ryan Poles was a finalist for that job. He misses out on it. Joe Schoen gets the job. And so Courtney says, if Joe Schoen gets hired as Giants GM, which he did, it could create a domino effect where Ryan Poles is hired by the Vikings. I don't think she's just like waking up on a Friday and floating this. There was another report out there too that Ryan Poles had a great interview with the Vikings. So he's been with the Chiefs the last several years. He, by all accounts, in the personnel department has helped them revamp their offensive line. You know, obviously he himself has not been hands-on with the development of Patrick Mahomes, but what's the secret sauce over there? It was an aggressive move to trade up to get Pat Mahomes, sit him for a year, develop him, right? Build the offensive line, high-powered offense. Like, what all goes into that? How much was Ryan Poles a driving factor for that versus sitting in the backseat of the car? These are all things you'd have to flesh out in the interview process. Mm-hmm. But, like, the best idea of Ryan Poles is intriguing. Mm-hmm. And I guess my question is, why is Courtney phrasing the tweet that way? Do you think she's essentially saying Ryan Poles is the guy? Put your reporter hat on here.
Well, I mean, she's got sources. Mm-hmm. So, and I agree with what you just said, which is I don't think that she's just like spitballing. So, no, it makes sense. And look, Ryan Poles might be great. I will say this. The Chiefs, in the course of free agency in the draft last winter and spring, fixed an offensive line that was, by the end, worse than the Vikings. They drafted a center, I think, third round. I believe he's going to the Pro Bowl. They drafted a guard in, like, the sixth round, I believe. He's starting. They signed Tooney. My point being is, I wouldn't object to going with a guy who has been around the building of success and probably played a role and possibly a big one. So one is, yes, I think Courtney is not spitballing. Two is, I think that this sounds like it might be, like it could be, we'll find out, a good hire. And the other thing that I keep coming back to is this one too. the pool of minority candidates, because this league has been so bad about that in both coaching and executives, has so many potentially great candidates. Mm-hmm. Like instead of being like, well, this guy, I know him from back in the college scouting, the Blasto days and blah, blah, blah. I mean, we're talking about a huge group of young men and women, minority candidates who have not been, you know, given a chance basically because of probably, in some cases, the color of their skin. And they're probably brilliant. So, like, I love dipping into a pool that has not been explored here and saying, you know what? You've done a great job. We are going to give you this chance. I think I am all for that.
Yeah, I think I've seen a lot of comments, too, just on social media and our YouTube comment sections, too, that, you know, just hire the right candidate, forget about race. And like, well, yeah, obviously. But I think, you know, the NFL needs to take a long look in the mirror. I mean, there's all these great potential front office and coaching candidates. You know, give them a fair shake, give them interviews, and then decide among the group who the best candidates are. By the way, on the Bills front, or on the Giants front, Joe Schoen, assistant GM of the Bills, new Giants GM, could that mean that Brian Daboll is going to be the next Giants head coach? I could definitely see that connection making its way south in the state. All right, we'll get to questions 3 and 4 here in a second, but let's pause at halftime to take a sip of our favorite beverage, Judd.
Phil, if you could actually play the I want to mock. I've got an idea here.
I want to mock!
Because you know what? I've decided. I've decided that Surly Brewing is the Alabama of beers. And now you're asking, why is that, Judd?
Roll Surly.
Because if I was to do a mock Surly draft.
I mean, lost in the championship game, so who's the Georgia of beers?
Okay.
Let's not comment
Georgia.
On that.
They're Georgia of beers. Right?
Pick number 3. I'm just going to go with little Sonic Distortion, okay? Wow. That's the third pick. So who's the second pick, you're saying? Well, yeah, you know what? We're coming strong. This guy's a tight end, and he can block. The Axeman.
He's a tall boy right there.
Yeah. Tall boy, yep. And now you're saying, okay, so the first pick in your mock draft of Surly Brewing, Judd, who's that? Well, obviously it's Surly Furious IPA. That's the thing is, Surly's coming at you with so many good choices. There are new beers coming, I hear. And so enjoy them all. I suggest, you know, if you're going to pick one at the liquor store for the weekend, Surly Furious, Surly Brewing, though. And if nothing else, show us your cans.
Show us your cans. That's right.
So,
you like that?
Mock draft.
Show us your cans. Also, hey, Federated's been helping business.
Had to get it in there.
Business owners. Federated, the number one pick if you are a business owner looking for frontline protection. They're basically like an offensive line for your business. Maximize the success of your business, minimize the risk, and talk to Federated to find out how all of their people and tools and resources can go about that. Federatedinsurance.com. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours.
You like that?
All right.
Like
so
that?
Question number 3 here. Which head coaching candidate not on the Vikings' current list of 8 intrigues you the most? So like Doug Peterson, Eric Bieniemy, Brian Daboll, Byron Leftwich, anyone else that's out there? Mike McDaniel is the weird, quirky guy from San Francisco.
He's great. He's awesome.
I love
God,
that guy.
He's awesome. He's so weird, but I love it.
Would never hire that guy to be the head coach, but he seems
no,
fun.
I wouldn't either. But yeah. So if I have to pick one, I'm going to go with Peterson. He won a Super Bowl. Yeah. I would talk to him. He intrigued me. I don't know that he would be my choice, but I mean, my God, he got the most from Carson Wentz. Took a backup then. Beat your butt bad in the conference championship game. So I think the name that I'm the most surprised has not at least surfaced, if nothing else, just to sort of pick his brain, Doug Peterson.
Yeah, I like Peterson a lot. You know, Byron Leftwich is another one, too. I mean, our guy Alex Boone has talked a ton about him with us on Tuesdays, and Leftwich, who just, it seems like the Jaguars, like, should be hiring him. He was their franchise guy for the longest time, and I think they're just kind of waiting for that shoe to drop to get him. But Byron Leftwich has been around a long time. He's a veteran quarterback. He actually still had a very nice career after leaving Jacksonville, and he's very adaptable. That's what I think Boone was always talking about with us, is he, like, you want to do something and do something new? Let's do it. Let's talk about it. I think Byron Leftwich is another name to watch as well.
I think the Jaguars can't actually officially name him coach until the Buccaneers are done.
Sure.
So that's why.
And that could be a month.
Is that?
I think you're right.
Did he interview with the Jaguars already? Or are they just?
I thought he did.
Oh, did he?
Okay. I thought he zoomed with them.
Okay.
Because okay, yeah. I mean, that seems likely. So I don't know. He definitely intrigues me, but it just feels like he gets to go back to the team that he played for and work with Trevor Lawrence. I'm going to say Doug Peterson. Brian Daboll is also very appealing. The Bieniemy thing's weird. He's only gotten one interview request. It's almost like the last two or three years of interviews have just not gone well, and now the word's out, and now the only team to request an interview is it the Broncos, maybe? Yeah, George Payton, because he knows I'm going back to his time as an assistant coach. So I don't know. Sure. There's just a weird vibe around Eric Bieniemy as a head coaching candidate. Doug Peterson's been there before. He's won a Super Bowl, and he knows his way around a quarterback room, and so I would choose him. And then question number four here, boys. Major League Baseball announced they will implement electronic strike zones in AAA this upcoming season. I think it's just in some select stadiums. I don't know if it's going to be for every game.
Yeah.
But they're definitely like robot umps are climbing up the rankings.
CHS?
CHS is not one of them. No, they have the full report of all the cities they'll be at, and St. Paul is not one of them.
Well, that's kind of, I mean, I would pay a ticket to go watch an electronic strike zone.
I'm all for
work
robot
its magic.
Yeah.
You're out.
You're out. Ejected. Grabs you by
goodbye.
The
throat. It's Schwarzenegger.
So my question to you guys is, what is something you'd like to see the NFL try? Could be anything. A rule change. Could be. I'll give you one while you guys think here.
Sure.
I've been saying this. Chris Long and I have been saying this. Chris Long from Channel 5 for like 10 years.
I know where you're going.
Yep.
I want to replace the onside kick.
I love this idea.
With a fourth and long play. Fourth and 15, fourth and 17, whatever, make it hard, but achievable. And I would replace the onside kick with it so that you're behind late in the game. It feels more exciting, too. It's like, okay, I'm down by 14. I score a touchdown. There's 30 seconds left. And the onside kick feels impossible now, especially with the new rules where you can't get a running head start. And if you replace that with a fourth and 16 play, it's like, oh, man, we just have to get Justin Jefferson on some sort of crossing route. So I think it would make the game way more exciting. It'd be a little bit like the NBA, too, where you would just, like, the end of games would feel more attainable for the team that's behind.
Yep.
They get to advance the ball to half court after a timeout. So replace the onside kick with a fourth and long play. Let's do it.
I want to eliminate extra points, like the idea of doing it. Just make it blitz football, hit X, and you just get the extra point. I'm so sick of kickers now ruining games and ruining situations because they don't make the GD extra point. I'm not saying eliminate them from field goals because field goals are still important. It's 3 points. You need those. But remove extra points and also incentivize going for two more. I can't stand extra points. Get rid of it. That would be my rule change.
I would, if you're going to keep the extra point, I would rather them just go back to the easier extra point. Like, when kickers miss extra points, it's like, it just feels dirty
unnecessary.
And weird. And, yeah.
What I would do, number one, I would get rid of about 20 rules. This rule book's ridiculous. Like, the celebration thing this year, what was the point? A bunch of old white guys got offended? Like, and you're always, the problem, too, is the officiating's not good, and I get that, but these guys are destined to fail. Like, are they supposed to enforce every one of your stupid rules? And I'll always say this. It's the competition committee drinking Mai Tais, watching things on slow-mo in Florida with sandals and shorts on and be like, yeah, let's do that. No, let's do that. Yeah, let's do that. And then you're playing a game, and it goes at the speed of sound, right? So that's my first thing. I would get rid of all of that celebration crap. I mean, if somebody steps on a guy, that's a penalty, okay? But if I spin the football near an opponent, who gives a crap? So one, all that's gone. All of that is gone. I also would make PIs 15 yards.
Yeah.
Not spot fouls.
Okay. Because I think it's ridiculous.
I agree.
Now the comeback is, but what about late in games then if a guy I just don't care.
Yeah.
I think it's ridiculous. They.
Well, what if it's a spot foul inside like the last minute? Even then, I guess that's pretty impressive.
My problem is this: defensive back is really hard now. Like, everything's against you, and receivers and QBs are now selling plays. And by that, I mean, you send your guy deep, right? And you overthrow him. But if I grab your belt, they're going to call that. So I would go to a rule where it's 15 yards, which I think is extremely fair, and that's a substantial pickup. It's a first down. But this crap of I'm going to heave the ball from the 50 to the goal line, and my guy is going to be nudged, and that's a flag, and now the ball's at the one, I don't like that at all.
I'll add one. I would make all 15-yard personal foul penalties reviewable.
I like that.
The ones that get flagged, I would make reviewable. But it would have to be a challenge. I don't want there to be like six extra reviews in a game. It would just fall under the category of things you can challenge as a coach.
Yes.
And I would do it the other way too. If let's say your quarterback got his face, you know, grabbed, you know, face mask dragged around and there was no flag, you should be able to throw a challenge flag and challenge that there was a 15-yard penalty. But
yes.
Some of these calls that happen, like these bang bang calls, you know, a helmet to helmet hit on a quarterback that the official just missed, and it's in the fourth quarter. They alter games, and I'd rather a coach be able to throw a challenge flag and say, "Take another look at that," you know.
And I mean, these jokers to this day still are supposed to watch for how much weight a defender puts on a quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
When he lands on him, on a sack.
Yeah, this. Yeah.
Think about that for a second. How is that in the rule book? Like
it's ridiculous.
I'm an official. I have to watch for body weight and be like, that looked like that might have been 62.2% of your. Of your weight,
yeah.
That's a problem. That's a flag. I mean, come on.
Ineligible wide receiver past the line of scrimmage. Like when a fat guy gets past the line of scrimmage. Oh, flag. It's an ineligible. I
2 yards.
That is so lame, dude. It's just a fat guy trying to do his job. Like what?
Yeah.
What they don't want is for
10
guys to run down the field.
That should be
in
5 yards.
Hail Mary formation.
Dex is right. It should be. I think it's 2 yards. I think.
Okay, you're saying
like, I can't get 2 yards.
You're saying keep a limit on it.
Yeah. I'm saying 5 yards because now if you're 10 yards downfield before the pass is thrown, Phil's right. Like it's going to become a problem.
And it's just chaos. Yeah.
5 yards, I think is fair. 2 yards though is ridiculous, especially because now it's like, we want you to pull and block this guy. If the quarterback waits to throw, it's a penalty. And the fat guy looks bad. I don't like that. I'm a Dex.
All right, we just fixed football right there.
I mean, yeah.
That's right.
There's a lot to fix just, here. Yeah. A lot to fix, yeah.
Judd's been fixing his physique over the last few months.
That's exactly right. That's thanks to my friends at Livia Weight Control Centers. I went to the Minnetonka location yesterday. I weighed in. I got some breaking news for you boys. I got some breaking news. Down 3 pounds, 206.2. Wow. Started at 239.4, now 206.2. Feeling good. Looking pretty good. I'm not going to say good, but looking not bad. And I want you to join me on the weight loss journey now with the I Did It 8-Week Challenge. Get your first 8 weeks for free. In the first 8 weeks, I dropped 26 pounds. So, folks, we're talking about you by springtime, 26 pounds down or so, and you haven't written a check yet. And now you're saying, how do I do it? It's easy. 855-GO-LIVEA, Livia.com, Livea.com. And if you're not in state, you can still call them or go to their site. And guess what? Consultation via Zoom. And they can set you up with the entire program right at your door. Livia.com. It's easy. They're supportive. If I can do it, you can do it. Livea. Start changing your life today. And tell them Score North and Judd told you about it.
Nice. The Vikings are trying to change their life over the weekend here. Potentially going to hire a new GM by like early next week. Finalists are probably going to have second interviews here soon. And then the head coaching search will heat up even more. Today, I believe they are interviewing Todd Bowles on this Friday here. Raheem Morris.
Mm-hmm.
D'Amico Ryans he had to delay his meeting last night with the Vikings because he's prepping for a playoff game. So we'll keep an eye on that search. This is Purple Daily Vikings Entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die. See you guys.